or verse 11, I'm sorry. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. We've been talking about Thanksgiving this morning, and Thanksgiving is this coming Thursday, and we really do have a lot to be thankful for, even though we maybe don't recognize that. And again, I want you to take today's message and apply that to your own life in terms of where you're at and what God has done for you. So let's read again, Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was coming into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on me." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And they went, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." God, I pray that you take your word and that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and our minds to receive those things that you have for us this morning. We thank you for it. This Thanksgiving is anticipated to be one of the biggest food days on record. In fact, the American Thanksgiving holiday is going to look something like this, according to statistics that are in hand. 51 million turkeys are anticipated to be consumed this Thanksgiving. 2.4 Are you ready for this? Billion pounds of sweet potatoes. Now, I'm not a sweet potato person, but those of you that are, 2.4 billion pounds of sweet potatoes. 266 pounds of cranberries will be eaten. 20% of all of the U.S. households, I'm surprised by this, are going to have apple pie as their dessert. I was hopeful for the pumpkin pie. The average person will consume nearly 5,000 calories, which is over double the calories on any given day. And $2.8 billion are expected to be spent on Thanksgiving dinners across the United States. That's phenomenal to me. The Thanksgiving holiday is the second busiest holiday, only followed by Christmas as the busiest and most expensive holiday for the United States. Things that are most associated with Thanksgiving include turkey and parades and in football. And how about the national deer hunting season in Wisconsin? Or maybe you're the Black Friday shopping person. Those things are all associated with Thanksgiving. Webster defines Thanksgiving as the act of giving thanks, a prayer expressing gratitude, a public acknowledgement or a celebration of divine goodness. Now, here's a little history about Thanksgiving for you history buffs. Thanksgiving can be traced back to the year 1621 at the celebration of the Plymouth Plantation, where the religious refugees from England, which were also known as the Pilgrims, invited the local Native American Indians to a harvest feast after a particularly very successful growing season. The previous year's harvest had been really poor and it had failed to produce enough food for the winter. And in the year 1620, nearly half of the pilgrim population died of starvation. Luckily for the rest of the local tribes, however, the Native Americans taught the pilgrims how to grow corn and how to grow beans and squash and to catch fish and collect seafood that helped them survive. There are really only two contemporary accounts of the 1621 time frame. And there was an interesting twist here. Nowhere at that first feast is it documented that turkey was served. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? What it did document, however, that season was a bountiful turkey hunt. Hence how turkey and Thanksgiving connect to Thanksgiving. So why do Americans eat turkey on Thanksgiving? Again, the connection of the turkey with the turkey hunt at that point in time. So as I ponder the meaning of Thanksgiving, I can't help but think of all of the people in Scripture that were thankful. Thankful for many things. And we read in Scripture this morning from Luke about the thankfulness of the man with leprosy, the 10 lepers. Now here's a cute little story that talks about thanks. A large dog walks into the butcher shop carrying a purse in his mouth. He puts the purse down and sits in front of the meat counter. "What's up, boy?" the butcher jokingly asks. "Want to buy some meat?" "Woof!" barks the dog. "Hmm," says the butcher. What kind of meat? Liver? Bacon? Steak?" "Woof!" says the dog. And how much steak do you want? "A half pound? A pound?" "Woof!" The butcher is amazed and wraps up the meat and finds the money in the purse that the dog set in front of the meat counter. As the dog leaves the butcher shop, the butcher follows the dog to an apartment, and he climbs up to the third story, and he finds the dog scratching at the door. With that, the door swings open, and out comes this angry, short little man, and he begins to yell at the dog. "Stop!" yells the butcher. "He's the most intelligent animal I've ever seen," says the little guy that answered the door. "This is the third time this week he's forgotten his key." Oh, now, come on. Really? You missed the punchline. Oh, give me a laugh, right? The third time he's forgotten his key this week. A little ungrateful and unthankful. So we read the story of the 10 leopards. And I think we read it too quickly sometime, and we miss the true meaning of that story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's traveling through this very, very small village, and he encounters 10 men who had leprosy. This story continues that the 10 men had one of the worst diseases of their day, leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible disease, and it's painful physically. And oftentimes, leprosy attacks the body, leaving the body with sores and missing fingers or toes or perhaps crippled or mangled limbs. And the pain is often extremely unbearable. Leprosy in the Bible days or biblical days often spanned an entire lifetime of a person, spanning 30, 40, even sometimes 50 years of pain and suffering. As Jesus encounters these 10 men, they stand from a distance of Jesus, knowing that leprosy is very, very contagious. And this group of 10 men yell, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." I can't imagine the actual emotional pain of the lepers. Think about the emotional pain in the scarring that must have been more painful than the actual physical pain. You see, lepers were removed from their families, from their communities. They could have no contact with their family for fear of afflicting them with the same disease. So they were the outcast of society. Lepers often tended to live together in a large group and to travel together and to seek food and to do things as a community together. But they were always in a distance, always separated from others. They were the outcast of society. I can't put my mind in what it might have been like to be removed from family and friends and all of the things that you've known. And these 10 men, they yell to Jesus. And Scripture says, when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, I find that response by Jesus a little odd. Go show yourselves to the priest. I didn't come to you, Jesus, to see the priest. I came to you, Jesus, to have help, to have healing, to have an answer. Why would I go to the priest? I don't understand that as I read scripture. Why would I waste my time going to see the priest when I came to you? What is really interesting to me is even though they came to see Jesus, and Jesus said, go see the priest, they didn't stop and say, no, Jesus, I don't want to go see the priest. I came to see you. You're the one that I wanted to see. But they actually went. Scripture is very clear that they went. Not only did they go, but it also says in verse 14 that they were cleansed. Come on, cleansed? No more leprosy? Think about that amazing feat. The mere obedience delivered healing to them by Jesus saying, go to the priest. It seems too simple to me that Jesus speaks and healing is immediately given to these 10 men as they begin to walk and go see the priest. That's confusing to me. In biblical times, one of the duties of the local priest was something of a health official. The priest had many, many duties in biblical times. If a person were healed of leprosy, for example, it was often up to the priest to inspect the body and to test the elimination of the leprosy by looking at the skin and looking at fingers and toes and doing all of those things to determine whether that person was actually healed of leprosy. So imagine standing before the priest and having the priest inspect you, your body, to see if you were actually cleansed of leprosy. So if the priest inspected and he saw that there was no more leprosy, you were allowed to return home. Now fast forward to the story of where we are with 10 men. They go to the priest and they're cleansed. I would imagine as they were cleansed, these 10 men, they looked at their bodies and they saw no diseased skin. Their hands that were once mangled and crippled are now made whole. Their limbs that might have been painful and in joints that perhaps couldn't move are now able to move and to bend and flex. Crippled legs healed, that they could walk without pain and without suffering. Sores that were once opened, completely healed. When we're sick or we have a broken arm or we have a sore, we know how painful that might be. Imagine the pain that now has left this group of 10 lepers because they went to the priest and they were obedient to Jesus. I would imagine once they saw that they were healed, there were probably shouts of joy, yelling, laughter. I would suspect there was cheering, probably high fives all the way around that group of 10 leper men. Skipping and stretching and doing things that they couldn't do for years. Now, I know it's something really critical here. Before the healing began, these 10 men had to begin to walk to the priest. Now, think about that. They're standing before Jesus, and Jesus yells to them, go to the priest. So they were required to take action, and they began to walk. And as they went, the scripture says they were cleansed. It was action into motion, motion into action. Jesus said, go, and they went. Words in action. You can't put conditions on Jesus. If Jesus would only provide more money for me, I'd do whatever he asked me to do. If Jesus would just give me a new job, if Jesus would just heal me, if Jesus would just take care of my family problems, I'd do whatever he wants. We can't put conditions on what Jesus asks us to do. But I do believe that Jesus places conditions on us. As he did in this lesson, as we read, Jesus said, go to the priest. There was an action, a a condition, and they followed and they were obedient. In verse 15, if you're following along, you'll note that one, just one of the leprosy men came back to Jesus. He saw that he was healed. He came back, Scripture says, praising God in a loud voice. Verse 16 says, he threw himself at the feet of Jesus, and what does it say? Thanked him. He thanked him. Hear those words. This leper man falls at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. I don't know if you understand, as me, the significance of that thanks. Your world is suddenly changed, and the best we can do is thank him. Friends, God loves you so much that he gives us the opportunity to daily to come before him and to thank him in all circumstances and in all situations. He gives us the motivation to reach out to him and to touch him and to have faith. That's real trust, that this group of 10 men began to walk and take their action and create it into the miraculous. That's faith. Faith that God can do the impossible if we believe. Just like I believe this group of 10 men, they came to see Jesus, but Jesus told them to go to the priest. Are we thankful despite our circumstances and what God has crossed our paths or what he's caused to happen? It's hard sometimes in which to give thanks in all things. This morning I've asked a few of our church attendees and members to share from their heart some of the things that God has done for them and how they've given Jesus thanks in this past year. Because, friends, as you know, life is hard, life is difficult, but if we praise him and if we continue to thank him, he is faithful and he is there at all times to meet our need. Amen? Jacob, where's Jacob? Jacob. I've asked Jacob to come and share this morning from his heart for just a couple minutes of a praise or a thanks report of what Jesus has done for him this year. Thanks, Jacob. All right. I told Jacob he gets to speak for about 20 minutes. Yeah. No, maybe not.
I guess I'm thankful for Sarah and for Andrew. I'm thankful for God's patience, draw me towards his will in my life. I've always struggled with actually being thankful, being vulnerable with it, with people and with God. So it's an ongoing thing to actually stop and take the time to actually give him thanks and worship, because sometimes it doesn't seem very important to me, but I know it's important to him. So, thankful for my job, because without his help, I know I couldn't do it. And thankful for this church and the people in it, keeping it going. And I'm pretty thankful for God's kingdom, what we get to live in now versus what life might have been like before Jesus, before the kingdom was here, like what David lived in. That's about it.
Thanks, Jacob. I appreciate it. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Think about the things. Brittany, where's Brittany this morning? Brittany, come on up. So Brittany is one of our college students. And so Brittany is going to share for just a couple minutes what she's thankful for as well. Thanks, Brittany.
Well, I am definitely thankful for a lot of things. But something that really stuck out in my mind when I was thinking about, okay, what am I thankful for? I am really thankful for community, and especially Christian community. I've just learned so much by the people I've met and have been blessed with, and how I've been able to use what I've learned from Christian community and, like, use that in all community and bring that same kind of love to other people. Yeah, in the last year, I've just been richly blessed in that when I came to Point, whether that was here in Evergreen or in InterVarsity, the Christian Fellowship group that I'm a part of. Yeah, it's been a really big blessing to live life with all of you and just see how a lot of people have such a heart for Jesus. And yeah, just being able to be encouraged and inspired to do the same things in my own life. So.
Thank you, Brittany. It's tough to be a college student, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Community. It's really important. It's something that we take for granted sometimes. Is Mary, where's Mary? Is Mary here? There's Mary. So I asked Mary to share a little bit about what she's thankful for as well this Thanksgiving season. Mary?
Okay, Pastor Todd, you have to give me the when it's enough time. He asked me if I wanted to do this, and I said, no. Because I was thinking about me, and I was thinking about, well, am I good enough? Am I too much of a sinner? And I wasn't thinking about being thankful. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, wow, I'm thankful about so many things. There were too many to list. And so I didn't write a script because I wouldn't stick to it anyway. So I'm thankful for my dad because I love him so much, beyond what I could ever say. And I'm thankful that even though we're all sinners, God has spoke to me so much this year and directed me, even though when I've been disobedient, he has spoken to me and told me to do things, and at times I've been obedient, times I haven't, but he's spoken to me in my heart, and it's been amazing to me that he has, and the more time I've spent with him, the more he's spoken to me. I am very grateful for Stephanie and my relationship, because when she's had difficult times of frustration, God has taught me that when we spend time learning about him, speaking about him, praying about him, she's able to turn her life completely around and her attitude completely around. And we couldn't solve that problem for years, but we've solved it with God's word. And she's amazing in her spiritual life. And I'm very grateful that he's taught me how to pray for my son and have hope in that. I have favor with my job that is inexplicable, not because of me, just because of God. I am grateful that I had a vacation this year that seemed impossible. It didn't seem like it was ever going to happen, and I've been able to serve in ways that I didn't think I could serve. I am grateful for too many things to list, just so many things. That vacation was a miracle, and I was able to serve, and I've been able to help people, not even having a lot of money, but in just different ways. So thank you, Pastor Todd.
All right, thank you. Thank you all for sharing. That's hard to come up and share. Again, it's a message that we all need to hear, that we need to be thankful. Let's continue our study this morning. So we look at the leper, and just like the leper who was healed, he thanked God that he was set free. He fell at Jesus' feet, thanking him. Think about that concept for just a moment, that he fell at his feet and he thanked him. That's incredible. Reverent, grateful for the miraculous. Did the leper have to come back and thank Jesus? No. No. Was he obligated to? No. Then why? Why did the leper choose to come back? Why was this one leper obligated and convicted to come back and thank Jesus? He was grateful. He was thankful. Was it his utter disbelief, perhaps? Or was it a grateful heart? Was it a thankful heart that moved him to such action? I would imagine, as I think about this in my head, if I were leprosy-ridden for 10-plus years, 30 years, 40 years, a lifetime, how loud would you be in thanking Jesus? I would imagine that man was loud beyond any Packer game that we could ever imagine and cheering the crowd. Think about the concept. Shouting and thanks, perhaps dancing before Jesus, trying to show his gratitude. I don't know that he could have expressed himself fully and completely. Why this man came back to thank Jesus, we'll never fully know. I believe it might have been for the same reason we thank Jesus for giving his life on Calvary for us. Gratitude and thanksgiving, life eternally. You see, Jesus died on Calvary for us as his ultimate gift. It requires our daily thanks and gratitude, friends, and a commitment to him for what he's done for us. I believe the leopard's heart was equally changed that day as well as his physical. Praise Jesus is right. We don't think about that concept that his heart was changed as well as his body. Jesus extended his love, and the leopard took that love. Jesus gives us his gift of love and his gift of salvation freely, no strings attached. I can't find anything else as I studied this story that makes sense why the leper would have come back other than the mere fact that it was physical and relational, a heart change, a head change through Jesus Christ. It makes no other sense to me. I'm amazed, however, when we look at verse 17, this next statement that Jesus makes. It says, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? This single leopard puts his family on hold. He hadn't seen them probably for years. Puts his family on hold, puts the priest on hold, retraces his steps back to Jesus, rejoices and thanks Jesus. The other 9? Gone. Nowhere to be found. Now, Scripture does not tell us what Jesus expected of the leopards. I don't believe Jesus expected anything. Jesus knew that all 10 of them would be healed. No strings attached. He said, go to the priest, but he never said, come back and thank me. He never put conditions on that healing. It was an unconditional healing. Yet this one leopard chose to come back. What action is Jesus calling you to? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something and you're being resistant to it? Verse 19, then he, Jesus, said to him, rise, go, your faith has what? Made you well. Now, I see a subtle difference in the story here. Earlier, Scripture tells us that 10 men were cleansed. Cleansed meaning to get rid of impurities or perhaps disease by washing or cleaning of some sorts. But in verse 19, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. I believe Jesus was imparting a different healing to this man when he told him that he would be made well. Well. Well meaning completeness, wholeness, salvation, physical and heart and soul transformation and change. Healing was in his body, but healing also came to his heart in his life that day. 100% restoration by the hand of Jesus Christ. Friends, we need to be thankful today, and we heard the thanks reports from the 3 people that were up just a few minutes ago. We need to be thankful for all things that we have. We need to take the example of the leopard that came back and thanked the 3 that we heard about, and we need to understand that Jesus' perfect love, grace, and mercy have been given to us unconditionally. What you choose to do with those perfect gifts are up to you. Jesus gives us that free will to choose. Now, reach out to Jesus. Thank him. are my words of encouragement for you today. Praise him for everything that he's done for you, big or small. We can't take anything for granted. Yet we do. We take so very much for granted. We expect that Jesus owes us something. What's in your heart of thanks today? Jesus gave his life that we might have life eternal. Romans 3:23, very, very popular scripture that says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. We are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Scripture is clear that there's no other way to forgiveness than through Jesus, period, end, done. The greatest gift this Thanksgiving, I believe, is what Jesus has done for us, died on Calvary, that we might live forever with him in eternity. I challenge you today to stop looking at your circumstance of what you're in, but to begin to focus on him and to praise him and to thank him, because victory comes through praise and thanksgiving. The ushers put in your hand earlier today that "What am I thankful for" list. I want you to think about that with your whole heart, of what you're really thankful for. Examine your heart. Look at what Jesus has done. List them on that piece of paper and post it somewhere, like I said, in the refrigerator, the bathroom mirror, that you can look at that and you can focus and really, really ponder what Jesus has done for you and what you're thankful for. What are your priorities? What are your thanks? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of Christ Jesus, God." 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Psalm 69:30, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving." Or Psalms 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Scripture very clearly tells us to give thanks in all things. Friends, we must be thankful for what God has done. There's no other option. He gave his own son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that's pretty heavy duty thanks to give your own son that we might have life eternally, everlasting. But we get stuck in our "woe is me, if God would only, if Jesus would only, if I could only, then I'd make the commitment." I challenge you today to thank him and to praise him. Thanks and praise are very, very powerful tools that Jesus has given us. We need to reflect on that and know that in our hearts. As the worship team comes this morning, I'd like you to bow your heart and just ponder for just a very, very few minutes this morning of what Jesus has done for you and what he's doing right here, right now in your life. And I want you to thank him and I want you to praise him for what he's done. And if you haven't asked Jesus to come into your heart and your life and to make that personal commitment and personal relationship with him, community, as Brittany had talked about earlier, you need to do that. And I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning in which to make that connection with Jesus and ask him to come into your heart. It's the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life. I can guarantee you that. That's my pledge to you. All right? So if you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning, and if you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, I just want you to make eye contact with me this morning, and we'll pray and we'll believe together and we'll give thanks to Jesus in all things and all circumstances for what he's done for us, because there is no other, there's no greater thanks. So to my right, if anyone wants to make that personal commitment to Jesus, just make eye contact with me. Thank you. In the middle section, anyone? left. Thank you. Let's pray together this morning. And if you would pray with me. Dear Jesus, I pray that you would forgive me, that you would make me whole, that you would give me a thankful heart. Cause me to live for you anew and afresh. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.